There are crayons in the back. What is the longest time that you have ever put something off? Just a month? Jeez. Uh-huh. Last week I kind of mentioned our list, the ones that we write between October and April of all the things we have to do. I definitely put off cleaning out my closet all summer long and finally took care of that. Meanwhile, there are now pee rocks everywhere around my house because it took me all summer to decide to clean it. So all that dirt got dragged all the way around the rest of my house. So what kind of maybe it's a project, maybe you've got a pile of mending, which I also have sitting at my house for, I don't know, 8 months. Maybe you need to clean out the garage. Maybe you need to have a difficult conversation. You need to talk to somebody about something that's bothering you and you know it's gonna hurt, so you're putting that off. Maybe it's trying to fix something between you and another person. Not just something that's bothering you, but hey, the way you treat me is not right. What other kind of things do we put off? Taxes. That one has a serious deadline, though. Cleaning my closet, it's just gonna get dirty again, so, right? And there's all these different reasons that we put things off. And some of those reasons are external. So if you need to clean out the garage, you gotta move the vehicle out first and you don't want it to get rained on or snowed on, so you can't do it in the winter. So there's external reasons that we can't address things that we need to address. Gotta go buy more thread for my mending. Have to remember when I go to Walmart to actually buy thread for my mending, you know. But there's internal reasons that we put things off too. Knowing that it's gonna be a difficult conversation. We tend to backpedal and procrastinate and wait. Or maybe we've just kind of gotten used to the way things are, that we've gotten comfortable with it, and really, I don't even see my pile of mending anymore because it's just been there so long, so I'll just, 1 more week's not gonna matter. 6 more months isn't gonna matter. Last week we heard a story of Jesus telling a parable about a man who had a wonderful harvest, and he gathered everything up, and he had too much to fit in his barns. And he says, I know what I'll do. I will build bigger barns for myself. And then I will kick back and relax and say, ah, life is good. Eat, drink, and be merry. And what we don't read between last week and this week is Jesus telling the whole crowd not to worry about your life, about what you'll wear, about what you'll eat. He tells about lilies and ravens and how God provides for all of them, and aren't you worth so much more than these things? And then we jump into today, into somewhere between this complacency of this guy and the anxiety of worrying about what's happening in our lives. We get to our stories from today. And in the middle of the unknown and the uncontrollable and the anxiety that it creates in us, and somewhere in between the comfort of an insulated life that's kicked back and relaxed and just doesn't bother looking at the problems, Jesus is telling us that both of those ways of life can distract us from what it is to trust in God. There are times when each of us are complacent, when we get too comfortable with our surroundings, with the way things are in our lives. We get too comfortable with our own security, or that sense of peace that we have when things are at least okay, that we forget to recognize the ways that we can help others, that we get more complacent with every mass shooting we hear about. It went from weeks of being upset and hearing about things on the news to a couple hours, we know about it, and we've already moved on. Or to every Black man or Native man who's arrested and thrown in prison. We get more and more complacent with every bit of bad news that we hear because the problem seems so big and our impact feels like it would be so small. And that complacency in our own lives can trickle down into the church too. Complacency keeps us from reaching out to our neighbors, our people in our neighborhood, our friends that we see every day, our coworkers. It makes us forget to invite them to come know God. We get complacent in reaching out to Fort Wainwright and to people at Eielson because we're happy with what we've got here. And complacency makes us do the same ministries over and over again, even if they've stopped giving us life or stopped encouraging our faith, because that's just the way we've always done it. And there are times when we live in anxiety, when each of us have our own anxiety that we fight as well. Whether it's trying to keep ends meeting in our own lives, financially, or all the things that we can't control in this world. If you start thinking and wondering and worrying about everything that you hear, your whole entire life will be shut inside of your own home. And even then, you have to open the door to pick up the Amazon package off of your front deck if nobody has stolen it first. There is so much in this world that can create anxiety within us. But anxiety closes us off to dreaming, to seeing what possibilities could be out there, to seeing and trying new things. And when budget cuts came, when it was first announced, the whole community, the giving to the food bank, to the rescue mission, to Love Inc., to other agencies, completely dropped off. When they needed the community the most is when our anxiety made us hang on even tighter to what we already had. And anxiety trickles down into our lives here as well. Anxiety makes us think that there's not enough to go around. Makes us worry that we're not going to make it through the winter. We're not going to make it through this summer. Makes us worry that there's only this many people in the pews. How are we ever going to keep going? What's the church going to look like in 10 years? What's it going to be like in this community if somebody who does everything up and moves to the lower 48? That's anxiety, that fear, that worry. And that makes us stop looking beyond ourselves. Makes us stop dreaming about where God could lead us. As people who follow Christ, our call is to be somewhere in the middle. Between complacency, where everything is fine and what the way we've always done it is great and things are wonderful, and oh no, what's going to happen next? We're called to be somewhere right in the middle of that because of our faith in Christ. Because whatever is coming is already in God's hands, is already secure in who God is and what God is planning and what God is dreaming about. And so we are not fearful or complacent, and we can try new things, and we can imagine new ways of how God is calling us to reach out to our neighbors. Because it turns out that God is already ready and willing and able to give us the kingdom that we seek. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." That all those things that we stress about and all those things that we've gotten lazy about, when we're asking God to help us, God already is. When we're able to step away from the fear or the laziness and complacency, we'll find that God is already moving, and we just step into that stream of living water. And it takes us where we don't know. And that can cause us anxiety. And that can make us want to step back and not do anything. But it's going in a good place. It is God's good pleasure to answer our prayers, to walk in the middle of the places that can cause us stress and anxiety. Because being a Christian is not about being a better person. It's not about getting all your priorities right or fixing everything inside you that's wrong. That is not what having faith is about. Having faith is trusting that God is going to guide you through all things. And that when you find yourself in the midst of anxiety or when you find yourself lazy, that God is already reaching out to you with a hand of forgiveness and strength for what God's calling you to next. So let's live that way. People who have faith, let's live in a way that invites dreaming about what might happen, about what God may want for us as a community, for us as individuals. Let's live in a way that has hope for the future of where God could lead us, and we can treasure the life that God is giving us, not worried about where God may lead, not comfortable with where we're at, but always trusting the presence and the peace of Christ that goes past all of our understanding to lead our hearts and our minds deeper into Christ. Amen. If you are